Hola y bienvenido al podcast Decibel Boost, el podcast musical oficial del sitio web Surreal Resolution. Soy su anfitrión Roberto y esta introducción en español es un presagio de lo que sucederá más adelante. And with me I have...
Enough with the AI slop in the commercials. They're bad enough without them.
And...
This is the second year on the road of someone named Drake to get y'all at the Super Bowl.
It gets even funnier.
Football it reference, is even cause... funnier the second time.
Football reference because... I thought, who the fuck is Drake May? Oh, he's a football player of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks, and, well, we know what happened.
And guess which team Mr. Aubrey put a cool million down on?
Okay, so...
Yeah, he lost big again.
Okay, so that joke is made real. Now I'm on this guy.
On the one hand, that is objectively hilarious. On the other hand, I have this sinking feeling that we're gonna get, like, five more stream trolling albums in the next few months.
And this is why you don't put money down on a guy who calls him, who says his nickname is Drake, Drake May, May. It's just too weird.
That's stupid.
That's just a bad combination of words.
Hi, my nickname is my actual name.
It has the same kind of clunkiness as the Los Angeles Angels.
That's like my name is Mark Mack, even though Mack is just my initials. Well, then again, most of y'all know my real name. Well, no part of my name so far, but whatever.
Oh, hey, I just got that. I am not the most perceptive person, but this isn't a podcast about the nuances of the English language yet.
Because we don't know the English language one damn bit around here.
Right.
Yeah, this is Decibel Boost, episode 422. So, were any of us doing anything outside of Super Bowl weekend?
Not really. Just sort of watching all the snow melt away because that happened. Yeah, that was not fun. Just... walking, seeing all these clumps of snow and ice just sort of hanging on, refusing to melt away, but yeah, all the snow is gone now, and I think we're gonna be done with snow for the winter. We had our fill. We're done. We're good. But yeah, not a whole lot to say about anything else. I'm just waiting for my tax return to come in. Come on, I'm broke. I need my money. I would also like more, please, because I don't like where my tax dollars are going. Give me all my money back, you fucks.
What's it like to actually be receiving money? It's been 2 years since I've known what that felt like.
Well, in my case, I don't make a lot of money, so that's how I get money back. Because I am chronically broke. It's not fun.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Like Alex, I'm also waiting for my tax returns because I need money too. And I said time being broke, I'm just tired of being broke and owing people money. But then again, that might never end because in some days I do need money from people. So yeah. Also work's been a bitch because. Because at one point I thought I was going to get 4 days off, but that was a fucking lie. I mean, I got some days off, but it's been like, please stop making me stop. Since I make me come to okay, well, nobody begged me yet, but I can tell it's going to happen because basically, it's the curse of being the one guy that's good in his job.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I feel that. I don't like that either.
It's like, It's like, oh, good, my job. I got it. But everybody depends on me. It's like, I hate this. I hate this.
We're not in it for the responsibility. We're in it because we need to get paid.
Yeah. We're in it because we need money.
Listen, any other day I would not be in this place of employment. But unfortunately, the electricity I need to power my computer and Wi-Fi so I can watch hentai costs money.
Yes. Yes, need money for either. Need money for food, internet, and other things I'm going to mention.
Yeah, or credit card bills, because credit scores are a scam.
That
you work your whole life to pay them off, and your credit score goes down. Make that make sense.
That too.
Everything is stupid and terrible.
Yeah.
Also,
I'm going to add one more thing, since I didn't mention this last week. But I got to finish just last week, because, well, I was mentioning that first, now that wasn't weekly. You know, there's one show called The Pit?
Uh-huh.
So, uh-huh. After hearing it from Rob, I'm like, I decided to check this out. And I would say, okay. Yeah, I know there's a lot of, like, medical shows, but this is actually a show that only focuses on medical shit. And the thing with the show is, the whole season is like the whole day, but by hour, by hour, by hour. It's like, episode one is like hour one, 7 to 8. Episode two, 8 through 9. Episode three, 9 through 10. And then it's like, it might have, some things might happen, some things may not happen. Some shit might happen, some shit may not happen. Someone be like, oh, this would be good. It's like, oh, that shit happened. And it may be because, I'm not exactly a medical whiz, but this seems to show that knows what they're talking about, knows what they're doing. Which, yeah. But yeah, it's a very decent show. Like, I know, like, now I'm on the second season, which is now doing the 4th of July, which is doing that whole thing. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah, it's a good show. I can see why it got a lot of attention.
Man, I am still grinding my teeth after the cliffhanger from that last episode. Swear to fucking God. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, as for me, not really much. I mean, right now I'm just kind of counting down the days until, 2 months from now when I will be back in Boston for Anime Boston. And I am really psyched because I managed to score tickets for the Yoko Kanno concert on Friday. I am very excited.
Ooh.
So, yeah, aside from that and simply taking work day by day and, the horrors. I've been alleviating the anxiety with Pokemon Zeta A. An interesting set of changes to the Pokemon formula. We'll see how things shake out as I get more closer into just more deep into things. And yeah, that's basically about it on my end. So now we're going to move on to pretty much the entire rest of the episode. Much like last time, we're not really taking a break because this is one of the weirder episodes to think of in terms of its overall structure, because we have only 2 songs, 3 news topics, but I feel like we might get a bit of mileage out of the news. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. For now, let's just talk about the 2 songs on the docket. You'll, of course, be able to find them in the description, so you can, judge them for yourselves. They're pretty solid songs, we promise. So let's start off with the first one here, from an act called Tamora. Never heard of them. Must be new.
Yeah, let's say who these are. The first one is a UK vocalist, UK vocalist, and the other guy is Tom Rollins, one half of the Chemical Brothers.
Oh!
Yeah, Tom. Tom, Aurora, Tamora. Get it?
Heh. I get it.
So anyway, they got a debut album as Tamora called Come Closer. And we have the title track called Come Closer. And I will say this, this is a very spacey psychedelic sold out track with this light on instrumentation. You hear it's very ambient build up. It's more on Aurora's vocals, and this thing where it gets where, you know, it's quiet, and then you get, you know, the thing in the knitting end, like a big boom. Also, the atmosphere is kind of like, you know, very, I mean, the video looks haunted. The video looks haunted. It's just, you know, in black and white to get, I'm guessing that's Aurora's, that's Aurora on screen, just looking at you, just staring at you with that in the glow, so like that. But yeah, this is a very decent song. Like, okay, like, this is something from, well, one half of the Chemical Brothers, which, okay.
Yeah, so this is definitely a pretty solid track, kind of a contemporary sort of surreal dream pop ballad, mostly because, like, while the vocals are very haughty and pretty, there is that constant buzz of noise that just happens to, you know, crescendo very sharply at about, you know, the back half or so. Kind of like, you know the sound of, like, when you unplug a guitar, like that kind of staticky sound? That's sort of what it sounded like to me. But anyway, now we move on to the other song on the docket, which is another Mitski track. So as a reminder, her newest album, Nothing's About to Happen to Me, is coming out February 27th. And that title is still very funny considering the album art of a cat about to attack another cat. It is objectively hilarious.
Yes, that might be the best album cover I've seen this year. It just started. In fact,
give it the Grammy already.
Give it the first album cover. Like,
beautiful. Yeah. So we have single number two here called "I'll Change for You," and compared to the lead off single we got, which was definitely more idiosyncratic and oddball, this is a far more like melancholic but also really gorgeous sounding kind of cool jazz number, very kind of bossa nova flavored, plenty of lush violins with a lot of the melody being driven by, you know, soothing flutes. It's definitely one of the prettiest sounding songs she's ever written, which is certainly saying something considering the kind of melancholic tone of the lyrics, you know, very somber words about, like, you know, being desperate to rekindle a lost romance and everything. Definitely something that you want to drink to alone with your thoughts. Man, I'm getting surreal right now. I gotta back out of this. Good song.
Yes, this is a very pretty song. Like, I also listened a couple of times. Like, it's just very gorgeous. Like, I even like the video is pretty interesting. Like, it got this whole thing of the energy is pretty interesting going on, doing like a whole, I want to say sort of clown face, well, not clown face, but more like a whole, like, you know, like, just, like, you, what we've seen the video, it does some shit like that. But yeah, I'm definitely digging this single, which I'm like, it's kind of nice. This sounds very good. Like, yeah, I'm definitely fucked with this.
All right, and that absolutely takes care of the songs. Now we have to get into the news topics, and this is where that intro bit comes into play, because, again, we had that whole big Super Bowl thing over the weekend, and since I wasn't exactly, like, watching live at the time, I didn't have a way to access it. Alex, would you care to sort of set the stage? Like, what exactly was happening on the field and on the televisions prior to peak?
Okay, well, as the resident sports ball watcher here, I am a very mentally disturbed individual. Do not follow my lead. I watched the Super Bowl against my better judgment because I hate both teams, and I was just hoping for a competitive game, which I sort of got at the end, but man, that Seattle defense, there's a reason why they call it the dark side. But yeah, the festivities of the Super Bowl were quite fun. I'll just throw this out before we get to the main course. Green Day, they did a performance at the very start before the game. They played Holiday, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and American Idiot in that order. And yeah, those were the correct songs in the correct order. And yet, for some reason, places like Variety had headlines like Green Day is surprisingly apolitical. Like, listen to the fucking song and read the lyrics, you rubes!
Wait, 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 hang on. We're 20 years removed from that album and people are saying they don't get it?
Unfortunately, people are outing themselves as morons because it's not even subtext. It's just text. Unfortunately, subtext is a little too a little too tough for a lot of people nowadays because the main course, oh boy, courtesy of one Mr. Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, a.k.a. Bad Bunny. He did the Super Bowl halftime show and it was very, very fun. And for some reason, a lot of people were mad about it, but then again,
of course,
I don't get it because... You know, I have an understanding of, you know, Hispanic and Latin cultures. I grew up in a lot of those areas in California. I get what it's like. I empathize with a lot of their plight because life is hard enough as it is. And yeah, I listen to a lot of what people nowadays would call música urbana music growing up. You know. It hits good when it hits hard, and this was good, hard, and fun.
Yeah, I can also chime in as someone born and raised in the 305 of a Cuban background. I know I saw one of my old best friends from high school was really excited because she's partly of Puerto Rican descent herself. And, you know, obviously, like, hearing just a lot of this kind of music was... activating a whole lot of nostalgia just in all kinds of facets. Like, I don't really have, like, you know, obviously the beat, like, moment by moment memorized, but there are, in fact, several highlights that could be discussed, like, say, the needle drop of Gasolina by Daddy Yankee. Goddamn, that fucking hit. There was, of course, the part where he fucking crashes through the ceiling of that little house, which is just a super fun transition. All kinds of, you know, symbols and references to, you know, the overall theme of the album Debí Tirar Más Fotos, which, by the way, I actually listened to that album. Pretty good album, not gonna lie. You know, a lot of it mainly being about, like, you know, colonialism and kind of the complicated nature of Puerto Rican national identity as it exists in relation to, you know, being an American colony. Especially once you got to stuff like the whole sequence with the power lines, which is all about how, you know, Puerto Rico notoriously has had, like, major issues with its power grid. Of course, we have Ricky Martin, you know, getting into the performances, appearances by the likes of Pedro Pascal and Cardi B. Of course, probably just, you know, the most fun ass, well, maybe not the most, well, okay, it was pretty fun. When Lady Gaga showed up and she got to perform a salsa rendition of Die With A Smile. You know, really welcoming in one of the biggest American performers you could think of. What else? And then, of course, there was a whole big, you know, American roll call. You know, probably one of the most standout moments where, in terms of national identity, he tries to, you know, redefine the very concept of what American means to be... rather than just, oh, you live in the United States of America, talking about America as the continents, you know, South and North America, name-dropping basically, like, damn near every country on the way, like Mexico, Paraguay, Uruguay, of course, Cuba, United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico, and then throwing down a football, which I wish I could remember what the football actually said, but I think it was, like, Together We Are America.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I admit, I'm not that familiar with Bad Bunny at all, with most of his stuff. And, okay, I was like, I recognize, like, maybe a few of his tracks, like, maybe the first track I recognize, like, the first song that came off, like, okay, I recognize that song. I don't know what it's called, because I I am.
Okay, okay, so I'm looking at the set list right now, at least on Wikipedia. That very first song was Titi Me Pregunto.
Yeah, I think the song is like a big. It sounds like that because it was like, okay, I kind of like that one. That one, and I bet like, hoping it's a vibe. Hoping it's a good vibe, and it's a good vibe, and yeah, even though, let's face it, I don't know what the fuck he's singing, but you know what? But you know what? Who gives a fuck? I'm getting into it. Look, listen to stuff that, I don't understand what the fuck they're singing. I mean, looking for weebs. This is an anime opening and endings.
Listen. We barely understand the grasp of the English language, let alone other languages.
Yeah, so,
we're morons around here.
They're playing, so who is the one complaining about? You don't speak any English. Who gives a fuck? And the thing is, like, the whole thing around the show is like, it seems to be getting, like, you can smell the culture, you can feel the culture, you can feel that feel of, you know, of Latino culture. And then like the fact that they got, and the fact they also got Afro-Latino as well, so that way, you know, that's just the one to do, it's basically like Latino thing as a whole thing. Is like, yeah, like, I was definitely like, okay, I can definitely fuck with this. Yeah, this is like, it's the second year in a row, this is a really good Super Bowl performance. It's like, the way Bad Bunny, like, does this shit, it's like how last year, it's like how last year Kendrick did his thing. It was basically us doing this shit. Now this year it's like, you know, the Latin people doing that shit, which is like, yeah. And of course, I got a good message. And during the year, said and I hope enough.
The only thing more powerful than hate is love.
Yes, that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll come back to that in a moment. I will give a couple notes about the set design. It was very well structured with all the set pieces, the sugar cane, plants and plantation, all the extra set pieces. Yeah, you gotta look into all that to really pick up the symbolism, but it's there. It's easy to piece together. There were a couple bits that were obviously, you know, pre-taped ahead of time, you know, where he falls through the roof. That was obviously filmed ahead of time, along with the moment where he approaches a family with a little kid who is apparently a child, model, actor, you know, small child, meant to portray him as a kid, watching the Grammys from last week, and he brought the Grammy to the kid, which...
Yep.
That's really cool.
Also,
Die With a Smile works a lot better in this style of music, so, you know, points to that. Was not expecting to see Ricky Martin. He looks pretty good for being, like, 54 years old, or however old he is now. Like, we're all getting old, but he's old. Ah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get existential about the concept of aging, but, the closing message... The only thing more powerful than hate is love. If anyone out there took that message and determined that it was somehow bad or negative or anti-American, as in white American, I know not to trust that opinion because I don't trust the opinion of a senile, racist, pants-shitting pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't sympathize with anyone that would trust that. So, yeah, just absolutely wonderful show, because, like, yeah, the entire point of it is not just, like, okay, so last year was just, hey, let's stomp on Drake's nuts for 12 minutes. And, of course, this year was, you know, not just about Puerto Rican independence, to the point where, and I only just found this out, like, the version of the Puerto Rican flag that Bad Bunny's flying throughout the performance has a light blue tinged triangle, which is very specifically the original Puerto Rican flag prior to the U.S. taking over, and is a symbol of Puerto Rican independence. But also, again, that roll call where he redefines America to have a more all-inclusive global definition beyond just, you know, these 50 fuck-ass states. And obviously the fact that Lady Gaga was invited, and just, there was a lot of people here. Like, you have all kinds of, you know, Hispanic South American music figures like Giancarlo Guerrero, Los Plenaros de la Cresta, who were the ones, I think they were the ones doing Smile, Die with a Smile. No, wait, that was Los Sobrinos doing Die with a Smile. And of course, the Casita, you know, that's the word I was looking for. Also, not only having like Cardi B and Pedro Pascal, but like Carol G, Young Miko, Jessica Alba, David Groopman, Ronald Acuna Jr., who is apparently the outfielder for the Atlanta Braves, mm-hmm. and even a couple boxers. Hang on. Xander Yarob Zayas Castro and Emiliano Vargas. Yeah, just, you know, everyone was welcome to the party. Hell, yeah. There was even that little kid who was falling asleep on the chairs. God, does that bring back memories.
Not to mention a real wedding.
That
wedding scene, that was real.
There's something beautiful about that. They're like, yeah, that's like, you get,
it warms your heart inside.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful moment. It's like, oh, this is something that brings us together. Something that's true with love brings us together. Yeah. Now, what's the opposite of that?
Laughing at assholes?
Oh, boy, yeah. That's my favorite pastime.
Yeah.
Wait, laughing at assholes was the Super Bowl last year.
Last year was Denji and Aki stomping on Katana Man's nuts. This year, I haven't gotten that far in Chainsaw Man Part 2. I don't know what would be an applicable comparison, but let's stomp on some more nuts.
Yeah. Woo! Speaking of this next news, let us do lead in. So, while the actual halftime show was playing, apparently, some of let's do an alternative one, a counterpoint of that shit. Apparently, as most let's see, pom call people call the Turning Point USA halftime show, aka Mayonnaise Fist.
Yeah, I am not sitting through Kid Rock. I mean, I wouldn't sit through Kid Rock in general, but I wouldn't sit through Kid Rock apparently lip syncing.
Yeah, like the motherfucker was lip syncing. Like, really? Even got anime voice actors calling you out for that shit.
Get their ass, weebs. And the thing is, you're a voice actor, so you can do it with a cool ass voice too.
And so you wonder why bring his ass up? Well,
yeah, why bring him up? Because apparently Kid Rock isn't yet done exploiting the modern American landscape for some last fading grasps of fucking relevance or whatever. Cause you might have heard of this little festival that's supposed to be going on called Rock the Country, celebrating 250 years of freedom. Is that what we're celebrating? Really? Is that what you're calling it?
Freedom, huh?
Yeah, it's real easy to put a cloak over everything to keep everyone hidden from... I'm just going to point in any direction and just say, look at that, and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and apparently this is, from what I'm telling, I don't think this is the first year it's been going on. I'm seeing some statements here.
No, but it's become more amplified with smelly mayonnaise this time around.
Yeah. So, for reference, the Rock of the Country is like a touring festival thing that had like 8 stops in 8 cities. For some fucking reason, Kid Rock was like headlining 5 of those, which kind of by default makes him the mascot, which would make him the worst mascot ever. Don't have Kid Rock as your mascot. But yeah, when the festival was first announced, Rock stated, quote, "Rock the Country isn't just a music festival, it's a movement. In 2026, as America celebrates its 250th anniversary, this is a place for hard-working, God-fearing patriots to gather as one and celebrate freedom, music, and the party of the year."
I have to interject for one reason that's always bugged me. I've gone through like 3 or 4 different denominations of religion in my lifetime. Nowadays, I'm more of a leave me alone kind of guy. Why do all these people insist on fearing God? Did these people stop at the end of the Old Testament and just not read onward in the Bible?
Don't give one of those Christians
that you weirdos.
Don't give one of the Christians that actually love each other and love each other. And, I don't know, do some of that level and welcome and shit. Because you're making Christians who are actually sane or, you know, not shitty look bad.
Yeah. Then again, I'm pretty sure these people all get hung up on all the stuff that's littered in the Old Testament, like inbreeding and cannibalism.
Yeah. And
never forget the words of Reverend Lovejoy. Have you ever actually read this thing? Technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
And also, this comes from the guy talking about a place for hardworking, God-fearing patriots. This comes from the guy who made a song who people are already quoted as a creepy song, so I'm not going to repeat it. You know what that song is.
Yeah, cue that Always Sunny joke about not diddling kids.
Yeah, that song is, of course, as we all know, associated with Osmosis Jones.
Yep.
Life is terrible.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason I haven't tried to rewatch that movie in ages.
Then the soundtrack has two curses. Kid Rock and R. Kelly.
So anyway, getting back on topic, There was one of the stops listed was the weekend of July 25th in Anderson, South Carolina, but it looks like after a hilarious series of events, that stop ain't happening. And if you're wondering what those events are, well, it mainly started with Ludacris and a bunch of other artists dropping off the bill a couple weeks ago, especially mainly because a lot of people on social media were looking at this like, "Hey, yo, Luda, why the fuck are you playing a glorified MAGA festival?"
Yeah, why the fuck are you doing this, Luda? Like Nelly, I get Nelly, to be honest. But you? Like,
maybe he needs something to do while the next Fast and Furious movie is undergoing its ninth rewrite.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And yeah, and after hearing that, Luda said, "You know what, I'm out. You know what, I'm out. I can't do this shit. I can't do this shit." And the thing is, like, okay, well, we don't know what happens next. Apparently, after he dropped off, another band dropped off, Shinedown. Keep on saying.
Yeah. Which is really funny, considering that after Ludacris dropped, their drummer decided to go on fucking social media and call Ludacris a coward for dropping off.
Like, okay, and you did the same thing. The fuck you calling me a coward for? At least I got some job security. What the fuck you got? Well, I mean, you're a band, so see what you mean. Might have something, but yeah.
Yeah, good lord. So, just to get a quote from County Administrator Rusty Burns following, the full cancellation of the South Carolina set, quote, "Anderson County has been proud to host Rock the Country for the past 2 years." No, you fucking haven't. You just hosted as a technicality. "The event was a huge success, drawing tens of thousands of visitors, making a multi-million-dollar economic impact on the upstate." Wait, Kid Rock fans have money?
Huh. Well, I mean, I'm sure some of them do through, like, alimony and child support.
Oh, roasted. An event of this caliber proved what a great venue and exceptional hospitality we have here in Anderson County. Of course, we are disappointed that Rock the Country will not return to Anderson this year. We are already planning additional major events and look forward to exciting announcements to come. Anderson County is committed to bringing high-quality arts and entertainment to our community. No, you're not. You were hosting Rock the fucking Country. Your high-quality entertainment would have included the likes of Creed, Brantley Gilbert, Skillet, fucking Stained.
Well, actually, Creed dropped as well. They're not doing it anymore either.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Like, I've been through that part of South Carolina, the upstates. You're not missing much. It's Booneyville over there. And, before this week, I would have said maybe they could get Three Doors Down to fill in, but that's not happening for unfortunate reasons.
Oh, yeah,
that happened.
Cancer is still terrible.
Very unfortunate.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then later on, Kid Rock went on to make some bullshit statement about, once again, how this is supposed to be about unity and bringing people together, when, motherfucker, you literally just performed at a quote-unquote halftime show for one of the most intentionally fucking antagonistic, toxic motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot it. This is the man whose signature hit is Ball with the Ba. He doesn't know what words mean.
Right.
Fucking, yeah. I know more about what words mean than he does. And I'm me!
Y'all talking about to speak English? What the fuck this nigga speak?
Unfortunately for all of us with brains and hearts and souls, this festival did issue a statement about it that reads, yada yada yada, blah blah blah, something something, and it closes with, loving America isn't political. It's who we are. Yeah, that's another thing I'm kind of confused about, along with the whole fearing God thing. You know who loves America? People who choose to live here, who don't want to get terrorized by a bunch of fucking masked goons with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been like a little thing that's been brewing in the back of my head for a while. I realized something, that no one hates America more than the people who claim to love it the most.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, when a black ice agent comes and a white man says, "I'm gonna call my house nigga," I would be offended and say, like, he's out of line, but he's right. And also, I want to add one more thing. Kid Rock is a baby. He's a fucking bad mascot. You're basically like, I want to say Cuba is more simple than this. Oh, and to add one more thing. What's about even voice actors talking about high lip sync? The one who said it, the VA for Cuba, Cassandra Morris.
Nice. So yeah, let's. I'm just looking at the lineup drop offs and being like, more.
There may be some happenings and goings on behind the scenes in regards to the money, but as I hear all the time in a Discord server I'm in, it's molested money. Yeah. The money has been molested. Yeah, run.
Like, look at this lineup. I'll say right now, like, I know some things dropped off now. Like, I remember seeing this one country singer, her name's Ella Langley. I think she dropped out because she's thinking, having number one song on Billboard right now, I don't need this shit. Like, I want to be social with fucks. Like, I'm a country artist. I'm already doing a lot of bullshit within country music. I'm going to have my fame and move on.
Yeah. Also, that song, it is fine. It is a fine country song. That's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. But that's enough of the roasting until more things go up in flames. So now let's move on to our last topic here. So, it is time, people. What time, you may be wondering? The list. What list, you may be wondering? God, there's a lot of lists with a lot of things. Look, the punchline here is Record Store Day, April 18th, 2026. We have the list.
Whee!
And this time, it's actually somewhat decent.
I sure hope it is, because I haven't actually looked at it preview-wise, because I was a little bit busy yesterday with some other things.
Well, we'll scroll through it together, and we'll point out the cool things.
Right. So, as always, the way I choose to start is that on this good old website, I have the organized, you know, everything organized by release type. So, first, let's actually scroll through RSD first, stuff that releases first on Record Store Day, before, God, I've said first so many times, it doesn't feel like a real word anymore. You know what I mean.
First, so, ow.
I'm just gonna, Mark, this isn't the time to be a YouTube commenter. We've abandoned the days of first. Anyway, so, let's take it from the top here. So, right here at the top, something called Super Unit, which is a, you know, dual release of Zenigeva and the late Steve Albini. That looks pretty interesting. 1200 double LP. Then there is Detroit, a mixtape by Big Sean.
Oh, yeah. Is,
you know, two standard black vinyls, only 2000 available worldwide.
Oh, yeah, remember him?
There is...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Big Sean exists. Then there's a Low Files from Bring Me the Horizon.
Ew.
You want 23 minutes of lo-fi reinterpretations of Bring Me the Horizon. Sorry,
No. Not 23 minutes. 23 tracks.
Oh!
I thought it's such a... God damn it. But, yeah, you have, like... Oh, God, these... I'm actually looking at the track list. It hurts so much. They're doing the stupid, like... Ollie Sykes, did you have a seizure on the keyboard? Do you need to go to Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Center? And for the love of fuck, why is the album art an emo version of Anya Forger?
Because this is clearly meant to invoke all those kawaii desune emo girl yeet speak.
Damn,
shit.
I guess they're just leaning hard into it, because have you ever seen Bring Me the Horizon on TikTok? It's just AMVs for some reason.
No. Okay.
No, I cannot tell you what that's like, because I don't use TikTok, nor would I nowadays.
You have made smarter choices than I.
And me too. I use it for just like cat videos and food and other funny shit.
Can't I just have one place to post stupid cosplay videos in peace? But let's move on before I make myself more upset. Looks like we have a 12-inch vinyl EP release of Inbred from singer-songwriter Ethel Kane, originally from 2021. Let's see, what else?
Oh.
We have 1983, an LP from Flying Lotus. We got, 2,000 copies of that. We got some Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Selena Gomez, Wicked One Wonderful Night Live from Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. This is its first release on vinyl. Splatter Color with unique cover art. We got some Elton John, some Kiss, Lemonheads, John Lennon, Demi Lovato. Something from Megadeth called Hidden Treasures. Looks like an EP with 8 tracks. But okay, 8 tracks and 4 extra tracks that were originally exclusive to the Japanese version. Which makes this... Okay, so this is a compilation of covers, soundtrack hits, and demos. Looks like some of the covers... Well, all the covers include Alice Cooper's No More Mr. Nice Guy, Black Sabbath's Paranoid, Sex Pistols cover. You know, actually, you know what? No. I was going to make a joke, but I'm going to save that until we get to the album roundup. you gotta save the good stuff for later. So looks like we have a live recording of the new Pucifer album Normal Isn't, which is coming out on a double LP. So okay, interesting that they're turning it around that quickly. Oh hey, look at that. Caramel by Sleep Token on a limited edition liquid filled 12-inch vinyl record. Apparently it was the New York Times number one song of 2025. This was previously only available in Japan, and the B-side is an instrumental version of Emergence.
Ew.
That's very neat.
I like that song.
Let's see, we got some... Oh shit, we got a 10-year anniversary Undertale Remixes album. This appeals exactly to sickos like me. Oh man, it doesn't show much. It just says various artists. I want to know who those various artists are. Help me out here. Ugh. Oh god, there's fucking Weezer. There's the 10th anniversary of Wiz Khalifa's fourth album, Khalifa. No, wait, I don't think it was his fourth. No, fourth straight top 10 release. That's what I meant to read in the thing. Of course, we have a... Oh god, he collaborated with Travis Scott. I forgot about that. So yeah, first time available physically, and I think that's about everything on the RSD first end for me.
All right, I can throw in a couple ones of notes here. Let me just get back onto page one. Okay, there we go. I'll just mention these around here. King Crimson. Live at Penn State University, 1974. It is a live King Crimson double album, 2,000 copies. Yeah, King Crimson. Good prog. There is a new vinyl issue of Def Leppard's 1996 album, Slang, the debut album with Vivian Campbell on guitar. It is an album that exists, but there's B-sides and demos on here. So that's cool. There are 5,000 copies of it, so it'll probably be on the shelf for a little bit longer than expected. Dropkick Murphys and the Outlets have a 7-inch single, Knock Me Down, an Outlets song from the year 1980, when they did a cover of it. There are an unspecified number of copies of this available. That's neat. Dinosaur Jr., live in Hollywood, 1991. The Green Mind Tour, 35th anniversary of the concert, 1,450 copies of this on a single LP. That's neat. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, live at the Ritz, New York City, 1981. Single LP, 4,500 copies. All the hits are here. Let's see. Okay, for all of you with very specific tastes... Lil Peep, Crybaby, 3,000 copies.
Why?
Do with that whatever the hell you want. Yeah, I couldn't tell you why. Just the stars aligned, I guess. Matchbook Romance. Remember those guys? I do. I remember Guitar Hero 3. We have a 7-inch single of... here it is. I can't read today. Visions. They're commemorating the 20th anniversary of the album Voices, which I think has that one song from Guitar Hero 3. Hopefully. I'd like to hear that again. These are two songs that were meant for the album, never finished, and they were completed last year. So that's cool. 1,350 copies of this will be available. All right, we have here the 25th anniversary of Jubilee from the Sex Pistols, a singles collection. So you're going to get, you know, the songs that people actually know and not the ones that nobody cares about. Also, Sid Vicious was a fucking moron. Yeah, 3,000 copies of that are going to be available. Sonic Youth, we have here Diamond Seas. Says here, 32 live performances of Sonic Youth, The Diamond Sea, Plunder phonically orchestrated by John Oswald of Grateful Dead Gray Folded Frame, providing two distinctly new experiences of the classic track from Washing Machine. interesting concept. Okay. 3,500 copies that are going to be available. Bruce Springsteen, Live from Asbury Park 2024, a 3-CD release, because, yeah, we do more than just records on here. 3,700 copies that are going to be available. There you go. Enjoy that. There is a Fleetwood Mac tribute album, Just Tell Me You Love Me. First time on vinyl, featuring covers by the likes of Barry Ann Faithfull, rest in peace, The New Pornographers, the Lee Ronaldo Band featuring Jay Mascaris, Washed Out, MGMT, Haim, and Tame Impala for some reason. Okay. We have here a quick one from The Who, their 1966 album, an early album. It's a new vinyl copy, 5,000 copies that are going to be available, and you get bonus tracks. That's neat. Anything else? I think that's about it from this section here. Oh, there's also Law Records Operation Irie, a compilation record featuring 17 different artists covering punk songs from the 90s and 2000s in a reggae rock style.
Huh.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I can only say cool in the John Oliver tone of voice. Cool.
Cool.
All right. But now we move on to the second old chunk of the list, and this is probably some of the more interesting stuff. Well, at least I hope it's interesting. The RSD exclusive. So you only get it here and probably never again, unless you, I don't know, really dig into secondhand markets or something. And let's see, we got some All Time Low, Art of Noise. Ooh, there's a live Baby Metal album, Live at the O2 Arena. Yeah, that's a live record in London. This was probably recent because it has a lot of stuff from their, most recent record. So, uh-huh. You know, the Tom Morello collab, Polyphia, Electric Callboy, fucking Ratatatata is still a bop. 3,000 copies. There is Black Sabbath featuring Tony Iommi, Seventh Star, their 12th album.
The album everybody hates.
You know, what? I still don't understand. Why is it called Black Sabbath featuring Tony Iommi?
Because he wasn't
the sole consistent member of this band.
Because record label industry nonsense.
Yeah, I guess so. But if you really want this, it'll be 5,400 copies on red and black splatter vinyl. Looks like there is a Bluey picture disc up here, Zoetrope. Specifically, yeah, it's that Bluey album Up Here that came out recently. If you're like a kid, but like you're one of those super hipster toddlers that like listens to vinyl. Well, you have some weird parents, but okay, sure.
Wait, so you got something with the cartoon Bluey or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn. Okay. Okay. Look at that. Oh,
listen, there have been Bluey picture discs before. I remember these being a thing, but something that might interest you, Mark, is that we have a 7-inch vinyl of Grown Up by Danny Brown.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. From looking at the album cover, look at the album cover. I think it's from. Okay, it says dropped in 2012. I want to say this around. I want to say around before we dropped the XXX.
I think that was it.
Because the font, he got that Jackie Brown font.
But yeah, it's going to be 1,500 copies. We got some Brandi Carlile, Neko Case. Oh, hey, Charlie XCX, Party For You as a 7-inch ultra clear vinyl. With etched B-side, PVC bag, and a transparent sticker. 8,000 copies. We got some Collective Soul, John Coltrane, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, The Cult, Greatest Hits, The Cure, a live performance from The Darkness, some Miles Davis, the KEXP Sessions from Deaf Heaven. You know, it's a performance that has four songs from Lonely People with Power. So if you like that album, hey, good for you. Go for, you know, that vinyl. There's a Doctor Who final. Apparently it's a narrated TV soundtrack from 1965. So, you know, really, really old stuff here. Oh, there's a name I haven't thought about in a while. Hilary Duff. Mine.
Okay.
Features some re-recordings of hers on silver vinyl, 10,000 copies. We have No Country for Old Men by Dope. That being John Densmore and Chuck D. Wait, isn't that name in a big legal dispute or something?
I think that's being sorted out right now, so yeah, weird timing.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. We have So Much for, I don't know how you pronounce this, Dust Live at Madison Square Garden from Fall Out Boy. It's a 2024 live concert performance, 32 songs, 3 LPs. You know, if you're really into Fall Out Boy, there you go. We have a 25th anniversary expanded remaster of Fear Factory's 2001 album Digimortal. Because prior to this, its only final release was Germany back in 2007. We have John Frusciante to only record Water for 10 days. Whatever that means. It's blue and orange color vinyl. 3,000 copies. Go nuts. We got Gabby's Dollhouse, Ghost Note, Goat Snake, The Grateful Dead, Haim, George Harrison. Aw, shit. Hello Kitty and Friends. It doesn't even really look like... this is just like a handmade figure. Well, okay, from a company called Handmade by Robots. Aw, and he looks so adorable. 2,000 units, never to be made again. Okay, that's neat and all, but can you call me when y'all make a figurine of Cinema Roll? It's for a friend. By friend, I mean partner. They really like Cinema Roll. Cinema Roll is very cute. Anyway, we also have... Oh god, the Balladeer. I do not want to know what the Balladeer meets the Dukes of Hazzard is. But oh hey, Carly Rae Jepsen! Disco Darling, an unreleased track from her, recorded around the time of her 2019 album Dedicated. Apparently, you know, demos have been online and fans have always wanted an official release. Well, now here you go. Baby Blue 7-inch vinyl with the disco ball etching on side B. It is 2,000 copies. We have Live on Los Angeles 1990 from Judas Priest. We got Saturday Teenage Kick, I think it's a soundtrack or film score from Junkie XL.
Actually, I think that's an album of his.
Oh,
you see, folks,
it all got started with this album.
Yeah, you see, folks, before he was doing film scores as Tom Hulkenberg, he was doing a lot of electronic shit like play this be high stakes on PlayStation. You hear stuff like Fight or Death Beat, or Saturday Teenage Kick, or if you're watching Blade, the first movie, you hear one of the Swarmer songs doing a roster in the club fight scene after the blood rave. Yes, I remember that.
Man, those were wild times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something to look out for. Looks like, speaking of which, we also have K-Tronada's Ain't No Damn Way on an inverted colorway picture disc. 2,500 copies.
Yeah, remember, this is an instrumental album, by the way. Just in case y'all forget.
We got something called Big Fat Wisp from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Apparently it's part of their official bootleg series. The record is shaped like kind of like insectoid with a bunch of live performances. Apparently $1 from every record sold will benefit pollinator charities. But that there's only like 2,500, so that means a maximum of $2,500. What if the bees need more money, dude? You realize trying to kill Nicolas Cage is expensive business, right? We have Bubblegum Original Draft from Mark Lanegan. There's Abby Lincoln. Oh, I heard about this one. This is one of the big ones, at least from my perspective. So, a bit of history for those of you who may know. Back in the magical year of 2008, there was an album by a bunch of weird people in masks. It was called All Hope Is Gone from Slipknot. Great album, by the way. Great, great fucking record. I will die on that hill. But it's been known for a while that during the recording sessions of that project, a few members of the group, specifically Corey Taylor, Jim Root, Sid Wilson, and Sean Crahan, decided to just kind of get together and record some shit with no other expectations, just independent of one of the great metal albums of the 2010s, which ultimately manifested as a project called Look Outside Your Window, that they have been saying for years, for close to two decades at this point. Like, yeah, it's gonna come out at some point. Nah, yeah, it's gonna come out at some point. Yeah, I'm probably gonna put it out, I don't know, maybe soon. Maybe, eventually. Well, wait no longer, friends, because it looks like the long-awaited Look Outside Your Window album is getting its official release as a Record Store Day exclusive.
Ah, finally.
2,300 copies, splatter vinyl with a die-cut jacket, purple foil on the front, purple flood inside, and embossed text on the back as well. So, it has been a hot minute since I decided to sit in line for a Record Store Day. This may change that.
Yeah.
You know, I may have had a lot of frustrations with Slipknot post the end so far. But this is probably one of the last fucks I could give. We'll see. We got a Bruno Mars collaborations album. Oh god, Tate McRae. Mm. We have a couple of vinyl Meshuggah remasters. The anniversary edition of Destroy, Erase, Improve.
Ah, yes.
Double gatefold etched D-side. And Catch 33. Ooh, that's an interesting one. Yeah, that's kind of one of the more like beloved cult classic releases in their library. So, interessante. We also got Motorhead. Wait, I'm sorry. On Parole, Steve Wilson remix?
Yes, as in Steven Wilson.
Huh. I didn't know he fucked with Motorhead. But yeah, these are apparently some of their earliest recordings from, the mid-70s. Pressed on black and white marble vinyl. So, yeah. If you really want some of that, there you go. Good on Steven Wilson. We got Mute. Oh, God, Muse. Ugh, Mute Math.
Ugh.
New York Dolls. Sorry, I had to scroll back up to the page, because there's still more. It's a whole second page of stuff. We got Ozzy Osbourne, it's another one of those Handmade by Robots figures. Is this supposed to be, like, a new line of, like, okay, so we have Funko, which I'm pretty sure is going out of business at some point, maybe. There's U2's. Is Handmade by Robots trying to be the next, collectible figure company?
I guess so.
I mean, at the very least, they have more personality than Funko Pop, which, okay, granted, not difficult, but still, credit where it's due.
Yeah. And, and I think I'm going to do this one next because I'm not able to say it. The 10th anniversary 7-inch box set of Anderson Paak's Malibu.
Ooh.
It is exclusive that is 1,000 copies. It is how I got to know this guy first, through this album, which I still say is one of the best albums he made in 2016. Yeah, this is on my list when I started doing this shit. And of course, it's good checks here. Too. You got Emma Ron with Schoolboy Q. Let's see, Lightweight, which I fuck with. Let's see. We have to feature Rap City, which that's a dope track. The Waters, Beach of Chicago Kid. Waterfall, Your Prime, and The Dreamer, which does a great ending track. The album's fantastic.
Hear, hear. I need to give it a re-listen. It has been a hot minute. We have a deluxe version of All We Know Is Falling from Paramore. You know, their classic debut record. Including a bonus LP with the first ever vinyl release of their extremely rare Summer Tick EP. So, you know, if you want to throw back to the olden days, there you go. We got a couple of Phoenix releases. Some live Pink Floyd projects from the live from the Los Angeles Sports Arena, April 26, 1975. Pink Panthers, Pixies. Let's see what else. Ooh, Porcupine Tree. We Lost the Skyline.
I know what that is. That's an acoustic release they did way back in 2007. I think it was released as like a CD and a digital thing back then. So yeah, vinyl version, very cool.
At a live stop at Park Avenue Records in Orlando, Florida. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, 180 gram crystal clear vinyl.
Yeah.
We got some Primal Scream, John Prine, Professor Longhair. Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, Ramones, a lot of Rolling Stones.
Yeah, they're doing the whole 3-inch mini vinyl thing for this year.
Okay, fair enough. We got Bobby Digital Presents The Juice Crew. Here's something I haven't thought about. The vinyl soundtrack for The Man with the Iron Fists.
Oh, yeah, I fucking remember that movie, which now I'm looking at it like, it was, okay, I was way into that, see how it was going, and it was fine, I remember the soundtrack, which got basically the Black Keys, the reason with the Black Keys, which they would do some stuff together, because, I don't know, I could do that. You got Ghostface Killah, MOP, and Pharrell Monk. You got, well, Kanye West before, the, well, it, well, back when he was not this. You got,
yeah.
Of course, you got, with a Method Man and Freddie Gibbs. And this is like way back in the day before he blew up. And Flatbush Zombies, which now I don't recognize the name. Because they always clapping with them. Of course, you got this Raekwon, Danny Brown, Pusha T on a track. I remember actually fucking with me with this. Like, okay, I'm a fuck with this. And the movie, which was. It's a bit cheesy, but it's definitely my thing from RZA.
I remember it being a fun enough watch, but that music was packing some fucking heat.
Yeah, the sequel I would not recommend. Is it directed?
They made a DVD. Sequel.
Directed DVD.
Ugh.
Yeah. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right, so looks like we have a Ryuichi Sakamoto release, End of Asia. First ever global release and first time on vinyl since it's Japan only released in 1982. So that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. We got Sisters of Mercy, Skid Row, Snarky Puppy, Bruce Springsteen, Steely Dan, Stone Temple Pilots, Stray Cats. Aw, shit, we got Crash Thompson's boy Swamp Dog. Swamp Dog gets his pool painted, baby. We got fucking this album apparently has fucking Moog Star, John Prine, Bonnie Vere. Hell yeah. Alright, we got The Sword. Who the heck is Masayoshi Tanaka?
Masayoshi Takanaka. That. Hang on.
I feel like I should know that name from somewhere. Oh,
I know who this guy is. He's the surfboard guitar guy.
Oh, yeah. This is triggering this is setting off a memory somewhere in the head.
Yeah, he's the big surfboard guitar guy. Really underrated guitar player. Fantastic.
Cool. We got Talking Heads, Thievery Corporation, Ultravox, presumably not any relation to the weird TV guy. Let's see, a whole bunch of various artists. Something called You'll Never Eat Fast Food Again. I don't know what that means.
I mean,
stop me.
I mean, I doubt that. I mean,
this is a Drive Thru Records compilation on vinyl for the first time. You got Newfound Glory on here, Phoenix, Texas, Midtown, The Wrens, Last Summer. This is like 90s alt punk, I want to say.
Okay.
We got, oh, here's one I'm sure we all know. K-pop Demon Hunters, soundtrack from the Netflix film Saja Boys Edition.
Yep, and Huntrix Edition, because, you know, gotta get all the money.
Yeah. And they both got 10,000 copies.
Yep. Yeah, and it looks like the only difference is, the main, like, art and stuff.
The songs are going to be the same, so, you know.
Yeah, so obviously take your pick, vote with your dollar, make sure, Genu doesn't get any more cash. But nice looking covers. The illustrations from one of the visual dev artists, Marion Bourdain. You get fold-out posters, sticker sheet. I might have to keep an eye out for this. Sticks, color B. There's a lo-fi Pokemon record. I mean, hey, if that's your thing. Van Halen, live in New Haven, Connecticut, 1986. Ween, Scott Weiland. We got a couple of Brian Wilson releases. Restless from Exhibit.
Oh, yeah. I did remember this album. And the songs with it. Like, I remember the first single, that being, X. Which, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one was fucking everywhere. And look, Loud Records, a name I ain't heard in a while, because back then used to be the big name, the big name for hip hop music. At least, he's like this.
Nice. And last, but certainly not least, for the RSD exclusive, Tales from the Topographic Tours by Yes. Specifically a 3x LP, 3,500 copies, containing some live performances from their 1973-74 tour behind Tales from Topographic Oceans. Yeah, and keep in mind, we're talking about some epic performances, because, like, each vinyl is literally, like, one song per side, so damn.
Okay. I can mention a couple more here. There's a Bryan Adams compilation, if for some reason you didn't understand that his apology was never enough. You got that, Canada? We want a real prime minister who will actually apologize to all of us for Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a late era Aha album coming out. There's a B-sides compilation from Against Me, or no, B-sides EP from Against Me, from one of their album sessions. Tony Bennett, MTV Unplugged. That's cool. Blur, Live at the Budokan. The Cars, Heartbeat City Live. There's some David Bowie things here. If I can find it. I just had it. God. Simple formatting goes a long way. Yeah, here it is. Hollow Space Boy and excerpts from Outside. So, you know, there you go. Those will be plenty available. There's an En Vogue release here, EV3. You know, their later album. I dig it. Foreigner 4, live tour 1981-82. No, this was not the tour with the Foreigner belt. That was in 83. Or so I've heard. Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer, Zoetrope single. It's a song about sex. It's very subtle.
Yeah, I do remember that song because somebody sampled it somewhere. I forgot what song, but I recognize that sample.
Yeah. Great album, though. There is from Vince Guaraldi. It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown. It's a picture disc shaped like a baseball glove. Sure. Huh. Why not? Madonna, The Confessions Tour, live in London. First time on vinyl. I have this album on CD and DVD. It is spectacularly produced. Thank you, Stuart Price. You did a fantastic job making the sound even better. Still not the whole concert. It's just, you know, what was on the CD, but, you know, whatever. For all you late-stage emo kids, there's Mayday Parade's debut EP. Cool. Whatever. Not my thing, but I guess it's someone else's thing. I guess. There's a Pearl Jam book with a 7-inch vinyl single in it. It is a book from their Dark Matter tour, which I think was from 2007, 2006, maybe around that time. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong or don't. I don't care either way. But yeah, that's neat. And I have to mention this. Adam Sandler, They're All Gonna Laugh at You, his comedy album when was this? Yeah, They're All Gonna Laugh at You. When did this album first come out? It was 1993. Jesus.
Well, damn.
That's when I was born.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Fucking time, man. But anyway, is that about everything on your end?
Yeah, that's all I could really find that I thought was of note and of interest that wasn't mentioned already.
Fair enough. Now we're in the home stretch, that being Record Store Day Limited Run Regional Focus. So let's see what we got here. There's some Chet Baker, the Bucketheads, which I assume they have no relation to Buckethead. We have a Ray Charles live record, the Dream Syndicate, English Teacher, Four Squirrels. Oh man, that means I can't listen to it. Jack Johnson. Let's see. Living Legends, Ziggy Marley, Mark Maron, the podcast guy.
Yep.
Oh, is that taped for HBO in 2025? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Also, oh, look at the kitty. It's Kitty Cat on the cover. It's a funny looking cat. We got Klaus Nomi, Panda Bear, and Sonic Boom. No Lube, So Rude. That being the Peaches record. 12-inch picture disc. That is a cover. That is a cover. Let's see, what else? Fonte and Eric Robertson, Gil Scott-Heron. Metal Machine Music Power to Consume Volume 2. What the? Like the Lou Reed record?
I think that's something else. It is, apparently it's, inspired by that because, you know, noise rock and drone.
Sure. Yeah, there's really nothing here that super stands out to me.
Yeah, this is always the hardest section to look through because it's, well, limited.
I think I might find a song that might come out a bit Okay, this one from rapper Cameron, that being Killer Season. Why did I mention that? Because somebody wants to, because Mutual Mount always mentioned this movie he did called Killer Season, the movie wasn't that great, but okay, looking at, you know, this is way back in 2006, which of course, you know, Cameron's, you know, he's part of Rockefeller Records, you know, crew, and well, in the Dipset movement, which, you know, basically he's going to be part of that, and of course, because look at the checklist, like, he got pictures from a bunch of names from 2000 that you might know. Lil Wayne, when he was not that terrible. Jim Jones, who, well, remember him. Jewel Santana, and production from people like The Heatmakers, Charlamagne, and one you might know because I mentioned him so many times, The Alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay. Here's one I do want to mention from Mako Kaji, Umari Bushi / The Flower of Carnage. Why did I mention this? Those are the songs. Those are the songs. From a debut album, Gensho Watatori, and used for stuff like with the Lady Snowblood series. One filmmaker used some of her music, and guess what the filmmaker is?
Paul Thomas Anderson. I know who it is.
Yeah. It's the Quentin Tarantino himself, because Bush was using the Incurs to Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2, and Fall of Carnage was used in Volume 1 after the Owen Ishii fight.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah. Which, speaking of which, I do hope that whole bloody affair thing eventually comes to physical, because I actually want to own it, because I heard, you know, they got some shit from there, but yeah.
Yeah, just a matter of time. Yeah, I'll mention a couple more on here because they're the ones that really just, I really noticed immediately. There's a Bob Mould album here, Body of Song, 20th Anniversary Edition. It's a remaster, reissue, whatever you want to call it, of a Bob Mould album. That's neat. And there is also an album from a band called Alcatraz, No Parole from Rock and Roll. The first album from the band Alcatraz, and I only mention this because this band from 1983 had a guitar player in their lineup. Mr. Yuwangi himself, I'll see the light tonight, Yngwie Malmsteen, and we are off because of it.
You know, you could have given me a trigger warning for that first.
I have to do it that way for maximum effect. That's how comedy works.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, that is pretty much the list as is. There are a few things that would convince me to get out of the house.
Yeah. Okay.
In particular, I'm looking forward to someone. I mean, there's a part of me that assumes some random guy is just going to, like, rip the entirety of Look Outside Your Window and then post it up on YouTube or whatever.
It most definitely is going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I will mention one more thing just to get it out the way. And I know it sounds kind of odd to mention this one. The score to the movie Sinister. You know, that movie Sinister, the 2012 horror movie. From Scott Derrickson.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
From Scott Derrickson and one C. Robert Cargill.
Ah, yeah, that was like his first major screenwriting gig, I think.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that about does it for the list. And that's about it for all the news. So that really just leaves one last thing here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of February 13th, 2026. Starting right up at the top, we have the newest album from metalcore titans Converge with Love Is Not Enough. We have the official debut album of TX2 titled End of Us. And if you're wondering who TX2 is, he is the James Summerton of Vans Warped Tour music. Yeah, that's a whole thing. Proceed at your own risk. From Stetson, Fox, and Dunn. You know, Colin Stetson, Greg Fox, and someone with the last name Dunn. I think it was Trevor Dunn. Their collaborative record, Nethering. Here we got Ransom, Nicholas Craven. Oh, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. And oh, hey, Boldy James, dude, you're slacking. We're like a month and a week in. You got to drop like 47 more albums, my guy. But yeah, the three of them have a project out called Salvation for the Wicked,
which is which is actually comes out Thursday, to be honest. Which okay,
day early then. And last but certainly not least, we have Charlie XCX with the soundtrack release for the new film adaptation of Wuthering Heights.
I think I'm gonna die in this house. Ah! That song's been everywhere on TikTok. Sorry, go ahead.
Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
All the usual places where I just hide, so you already know what they are. I don't need to mention them because I hate promoting myself. I don't feel comfortable doing it. So if you found the episode through me, then congratulations, you found me already. Also, I'm in the Discord. I pop in every once in a while.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Of course, Blue Sky Mental Media, of course, Instagram, all the other stuff, and my site, mynightmarehowardnorris.com. Of course, I said last week that hey, I find that the last part of my 13 perspective, and if kids gotta spoil something, well, fuck it. My number one Tarantino movie of all time, Jackie Brown. Yeah, I said it. That film, cool. The film's really unappreciated. Y'all, it's a great movie.
All right, and as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at sewerresolution.bluesky. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to find a link to the Discord right there on the site so you can always be notified when new stuff immediately goes up and just chat about all sorts of miscellaneous things. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back hopefully next week with more of the usual business and perhaps not as lopsided of an episode. But, you know, we got some good talk out of it, so I think it's all right.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll stabilize back out by then. So, yeah, thank you for listening. And until next time, seriously, was there some kind of gas leak at the studio that makes Yakuza games? What the fuck is happening?